True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. An injury attorney, David Feminino, has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Feminino, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. Get your life back on track. Getdavidgetpaid.com. Welcome in on a Friday, day 2, March Madness. Great to have everybody with us. I have an announcement. I'm officially an old man. Staying up to 12:45 and watching a basketball game when the alarm clock goes off at 6:45, I got to tell you, I ain't built for it no more. Oh, my God. I woke up. It was like that famous wrestling gif when the Undertaker sits up all of a sudden.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Immediately regretted all your choices the night before.
I'm like, oh, God, the Tritons, you idiots. Why couldn't you just get blown out? All right, so we are going to talk U of M to open. We can get to State a little later in the day, but I just have a different perspective than some of the other shows have had with the game. I thought the game was fascinating. And, like, you have a certain question to ask. I have a certain one to ask. Mine, look, it's always a combination of luck and skill, okay? But I watched that game last night, and I'm like, if Michigan goes on a run, you will circle that game as the horseshoe up your colon that got you even off the ground. I mean, Rico, I watched that game last night. Not only did you not exert any rebounding dominance on this team, 37-35.
Right.
Not only did you not shoot well from the free throw line, 50%. Not only did you not control your turnovers until late, but turnovers were a problem. You had the other team who shoots almost 40% from deep go 7 of 30. You got a phantom foul to get their guy into foul trouble, a phantom foul to get him out of the game. Vlad Golden was allowed 8 fouls. And the difference in the game was a three-pointer that was made while Cheddar was out of bounds. You don't believe me? Watch the game. You can either rewind it, see it yourself, or you can just hear the broadcasters go, yeah, that was out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You want to talk horseshoe up your ass. Congratulations. Oh, by the way, Dusty May, I don't know if he was aware. Stop switching. They're dictating the matchups and getting a point guard on a 7-footer every time with one screen. Stop switching.
You noticed that, too.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. And I'm sitting there, and I mean, even the final 19 seconds of the game was everything that you could do wrong, both coaches. We're down 3. Let's just play ISO ball and jack it up with 2 seconds to go and give ourselves no shot.
But Michigan didn't foul them.
And Michigan didn't foul. But UC San Diego went back on the plane with a timeout, okay? They had to put it in baggage claim because they took it with them. Michigan, up 3, and I'm saying, foul him, foul him, foul him. Nope, going to let him shoot that 3. And when it looked like it was good, why would you even allow the 3 to get shot,
right?
Make them shoot free throws, and math, 2 is not 3. You still wouldn't be able to lose the game. And you got 7-footers, put them on the free throw. It was so many things. But, yeah, I saw all of that stuff, and it's just like I look at it as probably like.
Are you going destiny? You can just
no.
Say
it's not destiny, Mike. It's we can split the difference because where you're going, luck. I'm like, is it just magical? Because they just keep winning games they shouldn't, and occasionally you can say, it's lucky. But after somebody does something so many different times. In my world, it's no longer luck. It's just who you are. It's like, you hit a lucky shot. Oh, you can't do it again. You can't do it again. Well, they've now done it 11 times in a row.
The guy I'm willing to tell you has a clutch gene. Like, I don't think it's luck. Big spots, third time's a charm. Now I've seen it. Donaldson.
Yeah.
He can disappear for 32 minutes. But if you need a big shot in a big moment, that's third time I've seen him do it. And did it again last night.
And even that shot was like, what the hell are you doing? Okay, you made it.
And thank you.
Right. Wait, you're down one or down two. You're going to shoot the logo three? No, you don't. Okay. Wow. All right. That worked.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, we could do luck versus skill. I mean, who they are as a team, that's fine if that's the way you want to go with it. Last night, no, you got lucky as hell. Now, don't put that evil on me. I didn't sit here screaming about the Tritons were going to beat you. Hell. We did the podcast. I said I wouldn't take the Tritons unless I was getting 4.5 or 5. So don't act like Lord Sparty over here somehow had it out for you. I didn't. I said if you hold on to the ball, you'll beat this team. But the bottom line is, I was lucky as hell. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because what I don't want to do is take a phone call from someone going, well, I'm not going to apologize for it. Nobody asked you to.
No.
Save your quarter. I don't need to talk to you.
No. March is all about survive and advance. Right. It doesn't matter how pretty it is.
But we get to talk about it. Yeah. What I don't like is when I hear callers or hosts basically going, well, you know, it's pass fail and they passed. No, we're not doing that.
No.
There's a game. I stayed up to 12:45 to watch it. We're going to talk about the game.
You couldn't tell me that their star player was going to foul out the game with 14 minutes to go. And they still made it a game. Like, I'm sitting there like, ref, that's not a foul. And the announcers are showing five different angles like, well,
when the sentence trails off like Stoney, you know it's not a foul. So look, if this is the start of a run, just look back to it. This was the one you got let off the hook. But do I feel great about it? No, I don't. And do I think you're beating Texas A&M? No, I don't. Are they sexy? No. But they're not going to be scared. When you see San Diego came out of the tunnel, I felt like I'd bought a penny stock.
And I go,
oh, dear. Yeah, they weren't ready.
They didn't want to go into the lane. They didn't go into the lane for like the first 8 minutes of the game.
The point is, A&M ain't going to do that. No. And A&M lives on the glass. One of the best rebounding teams in America. They're going to guard you. They've gone through an SEC gauntlet. And if you're going to continue to turn it over, check. You're going to continue to not shoot free throws, check. And I'm sorry, you go through these stretches where I don't understand what you're doing. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I don't think it's going to be some magical run. I mean, the win is, look, Dusty May was successful before this. Great. Then I don't want to hear anyone complain if he loses tomorrow, but they could have lost last night. I still think Dusty May did an unbelievable job. But that game, that wasn't his best work. By any stretch.
No, but Mike, that's been pretty much a microcosm of the season. That game, Michigan goes up, big lead, loses lead, and then at that point, we're going to flip a coin. And they keep coming up heads, and they keep winning. But that's been their entire season. Michigan big lead, Michigan loses lead, and in the last couple minutes, they make a play to get it done. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying a magical run to win the national title. I'm talking more of a, I don't know if I can bet against this team because they just seem to have a lucky rabbit's foot in their back pocket.
Well, hold on.
And somehow or another,
well, look,
they just win the game.
It's luck or skill. And we know both are involved, but go 51%, 49%. Last night?
Last night was more luck.
If you want to say for the season, no, there's a skill element to it. And I do think Donaldson has that killer in him. I mean, when you hit big shots late three times in a season, no, you might be that guy. But the rest of it, they damn near got out-rebounded by a team of 5'10 white dudes who look emaciated. I don't even know if they have a team meal program at UC San Diego. Right. These kids looked emaciated.
Right. Yeah, because when they walked out on the court, it was like, okay.
Oh, I know. Cookies and I were talking, and I'm like, oh, man. This is the team we're pinning our hopes to, huh? And I waited. I waited till it was 8-0, and I bet it at plus 6.5. And I'm like, all right, well, this is a loss. But it worked out in that sense. But, man, Michigan's lucky they didn't lose last night. But I'd love to know where they're at. But, again, you know, like, it's funny. I heard Rieger and Wojo do what they typically do, which is basically talk about our show because they don't have a plan. Fine. The whole point is, no, there are 7 fans. I don't want to hear about TV ratings. I work in Detroit. Do you know what you can't talk about in this town? Michigan basketball. Because none of you watch this team. You don't care. You don't pay attention. You're busy staring lustily at an 8x10 of Bryce Underwood. You have 7 fans in this town. Period. You should support this team. You should be hopped up to talk about the game. You should want to talk about the matchup. But you don't exist. So it'll be available to you all day. Consider this your Golden Corral buffet. We're going to turn the heat lamp on and put a little Block M underneath it. It's going to be there all day. Kenny won't even change it out. But I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you played well. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that was a clash of the Titans. It wasn't. You got lucky as hell. And you know what? Somewhere I do believe David was praying last night. Because the Lord's Prayer might be the only thing that saved Michigan basketball. Because that, David, when's the last time you saw a guy hit a three while standing out of bounds? It doesn't happen. They're staring at your feet.
Yeah, in warm-ups, sure, but not during the game. Not during the game at all. And I'll say that they can't make free throws. They couldn't rebound yesterday. And many of their turnovers, they had 11 at the 16-minute mark of the second half, and they kind of fixed it. They only had 3 the rest of the game. But their turnovers weren't because of anything UC San Diego was doing. It was because of what Michigan was doing. They were careless with the ball. They were doing the bad things. Had nothing to do with pressure on their defensive side. Had nothing to do with that. They're just throwing the ball away. At one point, that stretch in the first half, I believe it was, where they let UC San Diego hit a layup, and then they immediately steal the inbounds pass because you throw the ball poorly inbounds. Like, that type of stuff, you got to be better. The guards were penetrating at one point in the game, and then they just stopped. Like, I don't understand what it was last night. And
by the way, we get to talk about officiating, good or bad. It's okay to just say, you got a very friendly whistle last night at several critical moments. It all went your way. And guess what? I don't know that there's ever been let me take this back. There have been very few national champions who have simply rolled through a tourney. It requires a critical call. It requires a lucky break. It's like winning a Super Bowl. No one should feel aggrieved when we just call it what it is and the announcers trail off like Stoney going, well, let's take another look and, then that was several times. Like, you needed all of it. The difference in the game was Cheddar's foot being out of bounds and they didn't see it and it goes in.
Yeah.
So it's okay to talk about it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Do you go on a run or is this where the buck stops?
See that, and that's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and just, oh, we're going to lose. It doesn't feel good to me. Saturday doesn't feel good to me at all because of what I saw last night. There's still a chance, but it ain't looking good. That's all I'll say.
David, I get it. I understand. But here's the thing. Under Dusty May, maybe they just don't value the ball because you're right. Even at Florida Atlantic, they still turned the ball over like 12, 13 times. Again, they averaged while he was there. They turned the ball over there. So they're doing the same thing here at Michigan. I watched them game after game after game just shoot themselves in the foot, miss free throws, miss the front end of one-on-ones, and somehow or another, they walk away with the victory. It's just like, I can't explain this. This makes zero sense.
Well, I already explained it to you.
Yeah, you did.
The refs are on the take. Go look at the game. Oh, I mean, they either owe the mob money or it was 3 blind mice. You take it. You move on. I'm not asking you to give the win back. But I'm not going to sit here and spit shine a turd. It's not going to happen. You play like that again, you get bombed. Congratulations.
That's the thing. You play a more talented team, a team that can take advantage of your mistakes.
A team that doesn't get rejected by the rim on a dunk attempt? Where I'm pretty sure a kid ended up in traction?
That and that's just wild. It. When they play talented teams, that's why the games aren't close. Those are the games that they end up losing by 15, 17, 20, 30 points. And it's just like, wow, they look awful.
Yeah,
in those
here's
games.
The other side of the coin when people want to sit there and get chesty about winning every close game. You know why every game's close? Because you're not that good. Now, you want to step to the plate and play a real team? Get your dustpan, because we'll sweep your ass right out of the building like we did twice already. I already heard Rieger with that mess.
Oh, hey, buddy. I'd love to play him a third time and ruin Sparta.
God willing, State's there. We'll see if you are. Another 15-point drubbing. You don't match up with us. Mm-hmm. So, go, but please. I mean, the old bit theater. Now, are you going to do something with it? Or, candidly, you weren't even awake for the game. I don't care. 248-539-9797.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
All right, we'll get some ticket texts. See if the 7 Michigan fans want to pretend they know basketball. You take a win, of course, but I'd be happy to talk about what actually happened in the game versus, well, win's a win. Is it going to translate to a run or not? And the secondary question is the luck versus skill. They are 11-1 in these 4 or less games, and they've won 11 straight. I think it took the half quarter at Minnesota to beat them. Donaldson is the killer, right? He steps up in the big moment. He's done that 3-4 times now. But overall, no, the profile of this team and the way they play, I don't think it's going to net a whole lot.
Not sustainable?
No. I mean, look at it last night. For all I have to hear about Area 51, 37, 35 rebounds. You had a +2 on the rebounds? 12 offensive boards to 10?
Here's what frustrated me. David, I don't want to speak for you and your fan base, but if I was a Michigan fan, Mike, I would have been losing it because you didn't take advantage of Area 51. It would have been a game. Each one of these guys, you're going to score 30 points. We're going to dump the ball in down low. They can't handle you. Turn around, lay it up, dunk it. That's it. We're not shooting threes because in the second half, when you could have put this thing away, you wanted to go out there and play and won. I'm like, why? You're going to mess around and lose this game. It's like, take advantage of the fact that you got two big guys. They're star players in foul trouble. And I have no idea what they were out there doing. David, that's on your boys. But
again, part of that goes to Dusty. And the other issue is defensively. I just don't think Dusty helped him by switching everything. It was clear UC San Diego wanted to hunt matchups, get out on the perimeter, run screens until they could get the switch they wanted, which was always going to be Wolf or Golden on their primary scoring guards. And it's like, why are you allowing this? It's a simple conversation. Don't switch. Mm-hmm. We're not going to allow them to dictate the matchups. And they did it time and again. And I mean, Dusty May's a really smart guy. Clearly, you don't get to where you're at by being dumb, but that wasn't smart. Right. It's no different than Calipari last night when Bill Self, they'd run zone on 7 possessions this season. They go zone. Calipari took 3 or 4 minutes to get his zone sets out there. I mean, okay, John Calipari's a Hall of Fame coach. Does it mean he's perfect? No. I don't know what the hell John Calipari was doing.
He probably thought, well, they're not going to keep running this, and they did.
Again and again. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
It was frustrating at one point. We were up 10, and UC San Diego's best player fouled out, and I was thinking, okay, this is going to be an easy finish, and we let them right back in. But a win is a win. That is from Tom. When you have 2 7-footers and you don't take the ball inside against a team that doesn't rebound, why do you keep putting up threes?
I can't explain it.
That was me watching that game. Like, I would be livid if I was a Michigan fan.
Michigan is the living embodiment of the I don't know how you used to use the wrong formula and got the right answer meme. I don't know how they get past A&M with this. They're rebounding, but if anyone can do it, well, they can. Okay.
Well, I mean, David, speak your mind. Don't be all passive-aggressive about it.
I mean, I've already said it. It ain't looking like they can do this on Saturday. I'm not going to say they have no shot because have a shot.
They can play a different brand of basketball. Look, all I said yesterday is if you hang on to the ball, you'll beat this team. Once they stopped turning it over, they were able to stem that tide, and they were able to survive. They got a lot of help, but they were able to survive. The bottom line in all of it, they're going to have to play differently. I mean, there's just no scenario you're going to play like this and win it all. No, that's not plausible. Some of the turnovers are ridiculous. The shot selection. I can't.
Wolf dribbling off his foot. Like, yeah.
It's really.
I mean, and even the game winning shot was not the shot you should have been taking. It worked. It went down. But Trey, get it down low and let's try to. And he went for the hero shot and became the hero. But his shot is so quick into the shot clock. You're like, what are you doing?
And while he did that, but they were doing that all game, though. They weren't going down low. You're saying go down. They weren't doing that. So. That shot was not a surprise shot to me because they've been doing it all game.
Want to get to the people?
Sure.
And I mean, David, listen. In the end, if you win, it's all that matters. But talking Correct. About the composition of the win this time of year, yeah, that's the fun of it.
And that's all I'm saying.
You had a horseshoe up your ass last night.
It has to look better for them to win on Saturday. Has to look better.
Yeah, because I'll tell you one thing. It'll be a shock if A&M comes out scared the way San Diego did. That 10-0 lead. And Cheddar Bob having his foot out of bounds, but they didn't see it. That saves your bacon, amongst other things. Let's go to the people. We'll go to Chris, 97.1. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing? This is Chris, first-time caller. I'm a big sports fan and enjoy listening to your guys' show.
Well, welcome.
Hey, Chris.
What do you make of last night?
Well, you know, Michigan does a lot of things wrong. You know, they turn the ball over, miss free throws, and don't rebound very well for their size. But they do have one thing that I really enjoy in the team, and that's grit. You know, when the game's on the line, whether it's San Diego or Wisconsin, they kind of lock in and win those close games. You know, and also with the fouls, I thought that Golden was fouled a couple times on the wrist as well that were no calls.
Yeah, that dunk that he went up for, that was a foul.
He was. The problem is he shouldn't have been in the game to be fouled. But we can play it both ways. That's fine. You're right. He got fouled on the dunk. But he had steamrolled guys 17 times. I mean, it was kind of the Zach Edey treatment. The biggest issue was really the phantom foul on foul 4 and 5 on the other team's best player, and then the refs somehow missing a player's foot being out of bounds on a 3. I mean, come on. That's a gift from God.
You could see that the when that coach, they showed the coach when his best player fouled out there, that was a big foul.
Oh, big time.
You know, kind of grabbed his head.
You need a little bit of luck. It's a part of the deal, Chris, and it doesn't mean you're bad. You don't get to this point in the season being bad. That's right. Not what anyone's saying. It is simply you got your mulligan. You had your four-leaf clover. That's done now. Now you're going to have to play a hell of a lot better because you're very fortunate your season's not over.
Yeah, definitely step up in competition. You're going to play a team that's going to go after rebounds. Like, the fact that the rebounding was even with this team and they didn't have any size, that's problematic.
Yes. Let's go over to Mike. He'll get the last word on it. Also, we might have a developing situation. I know we can't go to it yet. Possible major upset. We'll go to Mike, 97.1. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, I'm kind of wondering, where did this coach come from that Michigan's got right now?
Florida Atlantic, FAU.
Doesn't he understand he's got an overwhelming height advantage and did not use it? How they bumbled through that, I have no idea.
Bumbled is something interesting because there were moments they looked great, and then you're right, bumbled would be the other side of the coin.
Yeah, the first 5 minutes of the game, Mike, I thought this is going to be a boat race. Michigan's going to win by like 40 points, and we could all go to bed at halftime.
Well, 6 weeks ago, nobody wanted to play Michigan at all. I mean, they were blowing everybody up, and then they lost to, was it Arkansas, and then Oklahoma back-to-back.
The bigger stuff is the Illinois game. You know, you got drubbed by State twice. There are games on here where it's like if you play teams that know what they're doing, you end up not stacking real well. Now, listen, you also have had some very big wins. The dramatic win over Maryland. Right? Donaldson is a killer. But I just feel like if you don't play a different brand of ball, if you don't get this to look different and feel different, no, I'd be surprised if they made a run playing the way they played last night. But maybe you got the bad one out of the way. Maybe now you put together something nice Saturday. It's not like A&M is some monolith.
No.
They're extremely limited.
Yeah, they're not going to shoot the lights out.
They can't.
Right.
They live on the glass, though. So now you ask the question, if you couldn't really out-rebound UC San Diego, what are you going to do with A&M? So, again, every game's its own story. You survived. You move on. But did I feel good about what I watched? Absolutely not.
No.
If you did, you're prerogative. It's free country, last I checked. All right, 97.1. We'll get back into the tournament, get a tournament update at 2:45. We'll do a little blitz. But I wanted to play this audio for you. I'm not going to build it up and to be something it's not. It's interesting. Depending on your perspective, it could be infuriating. But Al Avila is talking about the fateful winter that they decided to sign Javi Baez. And I think the part that's going to anger you is he was warned. But take a listen to this, and you'll hear a reference in here that there was another player. That other player was Carlos Correa. So take a listen, though, and I want you to hear the alarm bells that were rung, and they still went through with it.
Yeah.
Take a listen. Oof. Let me just give you my quick takeaways and then Rico will take you to six. A lot of people could have predicted he fell off a cliff. If you want to say not historical worst season in history, all right, point for Al. But he was warned and he still did it. I think the other thing that kind of got to me, not angry, but it just went, oh, okay. We weren't going to go there. I couldn't go there. That's the famous $300 million line in the sand. Remember, they offered the low ball. Mm-hmm. Then he goes with Minnesota on a short-term deal. Again, he tried to approach it with the owner. And I believe in Al's words, quote, Chris went, well, I don't know. Those are the things I pull out of it more than anything else.
Yeah. What about this Javi guy? Can we do it with him?
Yeah, you did. And you're still paying for it with a 6-year deal that is going to go down in history. It's going to make Juan Gonzalez look like a value.
But now, look, you know what? Here's real quick. I'm going to give you full credit for this, Mike, because I remember when the Correa thing was going down, and I was like, you know what? What if they went after Bias? And you're like, Javi Bias? You're like, no, that would be the biggest mistake if this team did that. Yeah, I didn't think that his numbers were going to go that way. I thought, you know what? Maybe he could bounce back, get out of New York, come to Detroit, you know, resurgence of his career. No.
Yeah. Whoops, wrong one.
Okay.
David moved these damn buttons, and now the muscle memory's gone. I got to relearn everything. I got to relearn to walk.
David, what's your take? I mean, here's the one thing. This has always been Al Avila. I don't think it'll ever change. He's too honest. Even like that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Don't say it.
Right.
All you're going to do is upset people more.
No, see, you're exactly right about that. Talking about what they knew and what they believed, they were telling him that he was going to fall off. His numbers were not looking good. We didn't play it, but there's other audio within this interview on DetroitNews.com about how he still never really wanted to trade Verlander. He never wanted to trade JD and all of this stuff. And it's just, if they're telling you that Javi Baez is falling off, then just stay away. I get it. Yeah. He says Ryan Kreiler was young and he may not have been ready. And
yeah, well, he stinks. He's still not ready.
But here's the thing. I would have rather you gone that way than what, if they're telling you he's falling off, say no.
Like, whatever misgivings I have about Scott Harris, it is not even a conversation from a brain power perspective. I mean, Scott Harris operates on a different plane than Al Avila. Yeah. And I may not like everything they do, including Alex Cobb. The point is, Scott Harris has done the things that Al Avila wasn't really able to do. Now, look, Scott Harris also inherited some players that hadn't blossomed yet that Al brought here. Like, we do have to acknowledge that. I don't want to be totally unfair. Like, your best hitter is an Al Avila guy. Mm-hmm. It's Gary Carpenter. It's Riley Green. These are things that Scott Harris had nothing to do with. You know, Jackson Jobe, that's an Al Avila thing. Now, again, do I think Al made a mistake taking Jobe versus a shortstop in that draft? Sure, but whatever. It's dead and gone now. And we're still sitting here with Javi Baez. But overall, like, all I can tell you that audio does is make me feel better about that you have Scott Harris.
See, I wonder, did they do a pivot and say, well, you know what, let's learn from the Javi mistake and let's not go for plan B. When Bregman thing fell through, it was, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out with who we have on the roster. And if we have to, we'll just, you know, we'll platoon third base.
Well, I think, okay, if you end up running your team the way they're running it, this is just an opinion. This is not breaking news. I'm offering this to you. I think the way this goes down is simple. Hey, I'm going to run my baseball team on a budget. And if you don't like it, you're not going to get the job. So why don't you tell me how you're going to run my baseball team with this budget? And here's Scott Harris, and he opens up his Bloomberg terminal in the interview, and he goes, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play Hildebrand at first. This money ball thing that they're doing, I mean, that's why you do it. Mm-hmm. Real teams don't do this stuff. Real teams with real budget. So do the Tigers eventually evolve into something where he's going to have his Al Avila moment? Yeah, I think the Bregman thing would have. I wasn't comfortable going where they went.
Right.
My issue is they didn't make a trade this offseason, and they didn't do anything else. It was Bregman or bust. I was never comfortable under those terms. Now, yes, I would have taken Alex Bregman. But when you started to get into 6 and 7 year offers, no. Yeah. And I'm glad the Red Sox did what they did because honestly, as stupid as it sounds to pay the $40 million a year AAV, he makes more money than Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. At least it's 3 years with a 1 year opt out.
Right. And it also tells me, Mike, he really didn't want to come here.
He didn't. All the money
was there, and it was just like, wait. Like he was slowly walking towards the airport, like, oh, I guess we're heading to Detroit. And wait, was that the phone ringing? It's Boston. Yes.
Right. As long as it's not a call from Korea, I'm in.
You are exactly right. And I cannot fault the Tigers at all.
No, and I haven't.
Because listening to that audio, you're like, we thought all along we were going to Detroit. And I'm thinking, well, then just go to Detroit. Mm-mm. He was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
But this
Please
is the thing.
Call me.
David, the problem in all of it is, on one hand, Scott Harris is incredibly intelligent. But on the other, the player was a bad fit for this place. Us wanting him because he was the only option or the best option at third is one thing. That's true. But is it a far better fit for him to not go to the Cubs, not go to the Tigers, and end up where he ended up? Yes. Like, if I'm Scott Boras, I want to get him to Fenway because of the ballpark, the park factor, the way he hits. He comes here, I think he was going to fade quick. But for our purposes in the next 2 years, I think we would have been okay. So, yeah, the Avila thing, I didn't get bent out of shape, but I wanted to play it for the people and just, hey, you do what you want with it. But yeah, he was warned. His own people are like, maybe not. Full steam ahead.
Okay. Well, we didn't think it's going to be that bad.
Well, it was.
It is that
it
bad.
It was worst case worse. Scenario.
You sign Javi and then realize.
Well played.
Oh, that's good. I love that, man.
This guy's got a 510 OPS. -8 defensive run saved.
All right, I'm done. That's gratuitous. David, some big attacks coming in, and we'll get a tournament update.
You're right, Mike. A lot of these guys on this roster are from Al. It was the other things that he couldn't do, meaning trades and free agency, that was the downfall of the Tigers.
Yeah, and look, what Scott Harris has been able to do is, in warp speed, start to get the farm system together. And no, I don't mean some stupid ranking. The ranking doesn't mean a lot. It's about the quality of players they're bringing in, the trades they're making at the minor league level, minor scouting, right? Like this Lorenzo kid they've brought in. Like, they're making smart moves and getting players that people are going, wow, the Tigers didn't trade for a doorknob? You know, for years, the Tigers would make these trades for prospects, and they'd be like, well, what'd you get? And it'd be like a mop and a bucket. So now Harris is doing that. But yeah, your best prospect is still Jackson Jobe. And The debate will rage on, at least in my stupid mind. You got Clark and McGonigal, or you got Wyatt Langford? Scott Harris better be right, because if Langford goes out and builds on the damn near 800 OPS he had last year in a rookie season for the World Series champs, and he was hurt, Look out. He had two balls yesterday over 110 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because here's the other problem. These other players may end up being awesome. They're not here. They're not here. They weren't here last year.
Right.
They're not here this year. And you don't know if they'll be here next year. You can wish it, hope for it, but how do you know it's not the next Jace Young who needs more time? I'm done. That's it. David, anything else?
Yeah, I'll just read one more here regarding Michigan. Someone says, Dusty May is maddening. I don't see how he makes this happen. I don't know what it's going on with the coaching. Do his players not do what he's asking them? It's weird.
The turnover problem is something that he brought with him from Florida, Atlanta.
He just needs guards. That's all. It'll get better.
I'm just saying, for 3 years, they turned the ball over there.
I know.
At some point, it's not the guards. It's you, because you put up with this.
Well, he better take the investment they gave him in the NIL in his new deal and go get some guards.
Well, listen, it's his first year. The fact he went 8-24 last year and you got a coach who helped you win the Big Ten Conference Championship tournament and you want to, I don't care if you got lucky, you won a game in the tourney. David, can the guy have 10 minutes to build the roster, please?
Okay, and then I'll need the next 10 minutes in the offseason.
All right.
Well, see, no, I was the same sorry, about I'm building sorry. The roster, but then I went and looked at what he did in Florida. I'm like, they turned the ball over there, too.
FanDuel, turning excitement up higher for college hoops. First two rounds of the tourney. Bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you'll win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. It's FanDuel. It's simple. I mean, I don't know. Look, Robert Morris was giving Bama a hell of a run today. Looks like they're going to fall short. But that would have certainly been the lowest seed to win today. Okay, so the early pot of games cruising along. We got a final. We got another one about to go final. But David, I know you've got recap of last night into the early stuff today. Let's do a blitz.
So there's really only two games from yesterday I want to touch on that happened after we left. And we all touched on it yesterday. The Drake, they beat Missouri 67-57. And Rico, you talked about this game. You talked about Missouri being the way they are. I mean, they didn't look good.
No, they stumbled.
Yeah.
They stumbled to end the season. And see, I thought the same was going to happen with Purdue. Like, sometimes the team just runs out of gas. That was Missouri last night. It was one of those things that seemed just so simple. Just take Drake. Yeah, just take Drake. Yes.
I'm going to be a little more nuanced. They might be brain surgeons in the classroom. They're functioning idiots on the basketball court. Missouri played one of the dumbest basketball games I've ever seen in my life. And I had Drake +6.5. They played like idiots. They were the walking embodiment of Homer Simpson. Drake plays at a slow pace and they play discipline. YOLO! Missouri was taking ridiculous shots. They had defensive breakdowns.
They tried to dictate the pace.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
The whole team on Drake is Bennett Sturts.
Take the ball out of his hands. If you gotta blitz him, you blitz him. You gotta trap him, you trap him. Get the ball out of Sturt's hands. Cutscene. One-legged three-pointers. Again, they might all be valedictorians. They are morons as a basketball team. That was hideous.
And let's touch on this game. Arkansas, the number 10 seed, beat Kansas 79-72. Yes, they did it for America. But can I say this before
Vote
you touch?
Vote Boogie Fland in the midterms. Boogie Fland.
Before you all hit on the actual game, yes. I need Arkansas to work on something before their next game.
Zone offense?
They have to work on inbounding the ball.
That was rough.
Oh, at the end? Oh, yeah.
Hey, you can run the baseline. Run that boogie? Nope. Yeah, hey, look. Mistakes were made. That was his first game in a couple of months.
Okay, when the referee keeps saying,
hey, you can move around.
Seriously, you can go up and down. Okay, I got it. Look, no, son. You can go back and forth.
The other thing is Arkansas played without their leading scorer last night. Okay, he's been out since late February. What a job by them. And getting Boogie Fland back to go with the other guard, Warren. Look, Kansas, you were an early adopter of Mike. Kansas ain't right. I don't care what they spent. They're not right. The pieces don't fit. They're better when Hunter Dickinson's on the bench. Yeah. Dickinson's in the game and he's just like, bah. He's like a guy who's drunk at bowling league.
No points in the second half, but you turn the ball over three times, I think, in the final, 4 minutes?
Sounds about right. And look, does Arkansas do everything right? No. Are they a particularly good team shooting the three? Absolutely not. And they will do things to frustrate you. But they guard, they're hyper-athletic, they've got length on the inside, and now they got their backcourt together. They are 7.5-point underdogs against St. John's, if you care.
I wonder what Kentucky fans, who they're rooting for. They're two former coaches.
Well, Calipari just says, you know, if we have four timeouts, it's okay. It's all right.
It's
we
not
won
all
the
right.
Game. Like, what?
Definitely not all right.
Not going to work
that
here.
Inbounds was like, son, what are you doing? The referee was trying to help you. That's how bad it was.
So we have one final already today. Offense not required. Baylor beat Mississippi State 45-39.
No, they did not. They won 73-70.
What is wrong with my scoring
everything
here?
Up next.
Literally, it says 45-39.
David got into the church wine. We do a blitz next.
It says 40. You can see it.
David, just tap out.
Well, just talk about the game.
The game is simple. We talked about there's really not much between the two teams from an analytic or metric standpoint. Hubbard is an elite young player in the SEC. VJ Edgecombe for Baylor might be a top five draft pick. Outside of that, it's a couple of teams where the pieces don't fit together real well. But Baylor had command of this thing for most of the second half. It got close late, no doubt, but they were up by 6, 8, 10 all half. They made the winning plays. Edgecombe stepped to the line, hit all four of his free throws, and they won a close game. Yeah. Welcome to the NCAA tournament 7-10-8-9 matchup.
Yeah, I was about to say he hit the pressure free throws, and he made sure that that game got to – that Baylor got the victory. So I'm always impressed when somebody can step up to the line and just knock down two free throws, because it sounds easy, but man, when you choke and you let the other team in that's really pressing you, Baylor survived, Baylor advances.
And they have talent.
They
do. Just not, the roster's not put together the right way. So it's a lot of really nice pieces, but none of them fit.
I'm going to try this again. Hopefully this works
hey
for me.
Hey, guys, Iowa State won 3-2.
Kenny's my witness. I refreshed it three times, and it's still saying what I said.
David, you got to let it go. I promise you it was 73-70.
Let's do this. Alabama right now 83-75 with a minute left pretty much in that game. I hope that's the right score right now. Robert Morris was giving them a game
until
5 minutes left.
You know, we've talked about how Duke shouldn't play Cooper Flagg. Alabama was supposed to sit Nelson today, who's their do-everything center. He's a rim runner, shot blocker, great athlete, and he can shoot.
Yeah.
He looks like a goofball. Stupid mustache, the whole bit. All of a sudden, Robert Morris ain't going away. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Nate Oates has sweat through his blazer. Robert Morris is up one. Guess who comes off the bench?
Yeah.
Nelson. Now they're up eight. They're going to win the game. Maybe we get too comfortable talking about, just sit them.
Makes sense. I still would have him in his warm-ups. And just like that, in case of emergency, you're only going in the game. Then they had to play him. But, this Robert Morris was just – they actually took a lead with about 5 minutes to go in the game.
Correct.
And then at that point, Bama just went on a run, and it was over. I mean, they put the scare in them. But Robert Morris gave them everything that they had, David. I thought we were about to get their first really big upset.
And then finally, we are hitting halftime in this game. Memphis, the 5 seed, is over Colorado State, the 12th seed, 36-31.
And they're right doing now. This without Tyrese Hunter. Let me tell you this. I gave Rico some stats, and Cookies really kind of leaned into these stats. Let me give you a tip. Don't ever make the mistake I made. Don't ever bet a Mountain West team ever again in the tournament until they turn it around. They are about 4-40 against the number. They don't win tournament games. They don't cover. I mean, go look at what happened to Utah State last night. Trash bag. San Diego State, trash bag. Now you got Colorado State. You're taking on a Memphis team down. One of, if not the best player on the team, you're down 5. The Mountain West might just be the definition of poverty. They can't win tournament games, Rico.
No, Mike, you nailed it, and you said watch out for it. I thought that Colorado State, I'm like, maybe Vegas knows something. Memphis down a player, but
yeah, maybe here's what they know. Mountain West poverty.
I think
Mountain
you're
West
right, yeah.
In the tournament.
Well, I'm still waiting on my facts for the final score of the Baylor-Mississippi State game.
Hey, guys.
Well, it looks like Iowa State's going to advance to the next round.
Yes. Currently, they are up 56-32 over Lipscomb.
Oh, yeah, I've got 7-3 on my screen, David.
Let me check
my cameras. Baylor won that game 30-10. 696 is a mess. Have a good day.
2-0. There we go.
That is your NCAA tournament.
Let me check my kid. Get out of the way for my cruise.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.